step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Off Stage and On the Air, performance number 873. I am Lisa Sheps, flying solo today. We're all wishing Nicole a happy and healthy day off from Off Stage and On the Air. You are listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby, streaming live as we do every Wednesday at KOOP.org.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh, yeah.
It is Wednesday, April 22nd, 2026. On the show today, we have the Baron's Men in the Scottish Rite Theatre presenting their show of The Merry Wives of Windsor, and we're going to be talking everything 1448 Theatre Festival today. And of course, we're going to have discussions of the world of theatre in Austin, Texas, Chicago, Illinois, New York, New York, Los Angeles, California, London, England, and somewhere else. Stick with us.
She helps her kids to punctuate.
Still unmarried at 20.
Well, welcome to Offstage and On the Air, everybody. I feel very lonely. I am all alone in the studio. Nobody else is here. It's very lonely. Actually, we have a whole bunch of people here, but no co-host, no apprentice, nothing. So I'm going to make all the people that I'm just about to introduce my co-hosts for today. So let's introduce those folks. And I'm going to go in the order of what we have here, if I can remember everybody's name. Lindsay Pitlinski, how are you?
Good morning, Lisa.
Welcome back.
Thank you. It's glad to be back. I'm glad to be back.
Michael Osborne.
Hello, welcome. I'm here. I'm here too. Hello.
Wonderful. Jared Walls.
Good morning.
Julio Milia.
Hi, well.
I don't think I spelled your pronounced your last name right,
it's
did I?
It's actually pronounced Maya.
Maya, just mm-hmm. the way it's spelled, actually. Mm-hmm. But when you're an American and you don't think, you do stupid things. Max Langert, the incredible Max Langert.
Oh, stop. Thank you. Great to be here. Thanks.
And Sean Moran.
Hi, I'm also incredible, too.
You are incredible. So did anybody recognize that piece of music that I played at the very beginning?
Yeah, it's the opening theme from Schmigadoon.
Schmigadoon. Do you have any idea why I would be playing it?
Does it open this week?
It opened last night.
Last night.
Or the night before, I can't remember. We've had an opening, a Broadway opening every single night this week.
Wow.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
But before we talk about that opening, so this is, we do this every year. We have 1448 on, and I'll tell you what that is, or somebody will tell you about what that is in a second. But what we are going to do, 1448 is a theater festival. Actually, I'm just going to say it. We do 14 shows in 48 hours. And we are going to simulate 1448 right now, or today, by creating a theme, or choosing a theme that we have in a bowl. It's a bowl. A playwright is going to write about it. Sean Moran, can you tell more than what I just said? Can you tell folks about 1448 and how long it's been going on? I don't know.
If I had to guess, I think we've been going at least since the 1990s.
Yeah.
It was first started in Seattle by a different Sean Bellier. And he's been doing 1448 all over the world. I think every major city has a 1448 kind of chapter. Ours is a little more specific. We have a live band, which is a very unique feature in 1448. The way that it works is this week we're going to meet on Thursday evening. We're going to do an orientation and pick a theme. The playwrights are all going to go home and overnight create 7 new plays. We're going to show up in the morning. The directors will randomly choose their play. They will randomly draw their actors. And we will spend the day putting on this show. That evening, we will put on all these new 7 plays. We'll pick a new theme, and then we'll do the exact same thing over on Saturday.
And this is all open to the public.
Yes.
Well, not
yes.
all open. The plays, the show is open to the public. And Max Langer, you are the playwright.
Yes, that's what I'm doing today.
Amazing. So we're going to actually talk to y'all more at length about the festival at all. But what we're going to do right now is just choose a theme. And Max, you are going to write a short play that we're all going to perform.
Cool. I can't wait.
Okay. So I want to get a sense of what's going on in your mind right at this moment before a theme is chosen and you know you're on the chopping block.
Yeah. I mean, to put it in language, maybe you can understand it's I'm standing on stage right before the curtain opens, I guess. I feel this immense kind of pressure cooker coming and need to perform well, which is both good and bad, I guess.
Well, wonderful. Well, let's start out by saying we're going to tell you how many characters you're going to be writing for.
Okay.
And let's say four.
Okay.
And then somebody's going to choose from this bowl, which can some people use as a hat. So I am going to ask Michael to choose something from this. Here it goes. Drum roll. Okay. And somebody read it.
All right. It has been chosen. I am unfolding. It is Shag Rake.
Oh, my God. That's so funny.
can you spell that for me? No. Shag.
Do you know what Shag Rake is, rake. Max?
No, but I can figure it out.
Oh, I know.
I can tell you.
All right, yeah.
Oh, wait. Lindsay, you tell him.
When you had shag carpet in the 70s, so you could fluff the carpet.
Right.
Yep. You had a shag. We had, my family had shag rakes.
Who came up with this one?
Me. Okay.
Awesome. All right.
Cool. All right. So, Max, you go off and write. And then we're going to just talk about theater, and we're going to have fun while you work.
Bye, Max.
Bye. Awesome. So we had, like I said, four shows that opened this week. Hold on. I'm looking for my list. One, two, three, four, five shows that opened this week.
Wow.
Another show opening tonight, another show opening tomorrow. Any reason? Yeah, bet you can guess why all these shows are opening right now.
Broadway's back, baby.
Well, that's true.
This week, what?
Is there a big
award? The Tonys.
Yes, the Tonys.
Those are happening soon.
Yes, and the nomination period ends next week,
mm-hmm.
or the end of this week. So the first one we had that opened on, I don't know, earlier this week is The Fear of 13, Whose Life Is It Anyway? Written by Lindsay Fiorentino. So the Did They Like It aggregator of reviews had 16 reviews. Four were positive, two were negative, and 10 were middle of the road. So this was a middle of the road kind of a mixed review. Writing for Theaterly was Juan Ramirez. Does anybody know this show? Has anybody heard anything about it?
Mm-mm.
No.
No.
No. No. Okay. Me neither. but it's about... It tells the story of Nick Yaris, who is a Philadelphia native who spent 22 years on death row for a gruesome crime he did not commit. I think, I could be wrong, this is pulled from the headlines.
This sounds like the kind of show my mother will get a rush ticket to see and then call me and say, wow, that was heavy.
This one seems heavy.
Yeah.
It was directed by David Cromer and stars Adrian Brody and Tessa Thompson. Both of them making their Broadway debuts. I'm surprised that Adrian Brody has not made it to Broadway yet.
Yeah.
He's done West End stuff, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right. I think. Right. And Juan Ramirez said that, where is it? David Cromer, in rare disjointed form, directed it. Mm. Not a great thing, but Brody is expectedly watchable and uber committed. And he plays for this. And then Thompson plays Jackie, who is a kind-hearted prison volunteer who falls in love with him. Mm. And unfortunately, Lindsay Fiorentino has not had a lot of luck on Broadway. She just opened Queen of Versailles about that documentary. I think this was also a documentary.
Well, that's her thing, maybe?
It's not her thing. She also wrote Amy and the Orphans.
Oh.
That was just done at Ground Floor Theater to thunderous applause. Brody did, wait, am I wrong? Yes, Brody did this show. It was in on the West End in 2024. Did this show. When I said song, I meant show. And anyway, so that's it. So not all that good. I'm going to rush through these because we've got five of them to go through. So other critics, Chicago's Tribune, Chris Jones said, a new and very artful production from director David Cromer, who works here with a phenomenal lighting designer, Heather Gilbert. Time Out's Adam Feldman says, it's a respectable telling of a worthy story. And Variety's Armid Tinibu said, deeply moving, yet it falls short of being remarkable with uneven pacing. So that's The Fear of 13. Mm. The rest of the shows were pretty positive from this point forward. Spoiler alert. The next show that opened is Proof. Mm. It is a revival. Now, has anybody seen it or read it?
Nope.
I read it in college, yeah, but I don't remember much about it.
Yeah, acting undergrads would do it as scenes and mm-hmm. stuff.
I don't. Yeah, those of you that are speaking, you got to be right in. Yeah, see? What did I tell you about castigating over the air? Oh, let me just say this. This is a quick non sequitur. I should tell everybody that the opinions expressed on Offstage and on the Air are not necessarily those of co-op, its board of directors, volunteers, or underwriters. It's just our crazy opinion because we talk about all this controversial stuff.
Ding.
Like theater. Like Proof. So Proof was the Tony Award winner and Pulitzer Prize winner back in, let's see if I have that highlighted. I can't remember when it was. But I don't get it, frankly. Not my favorite show. Clear?
Yeah, a play about math.
Play about math. Yeah.
Theater kids are famously known for math.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. So it was written by David Auburn. It's a fictional play that imagined a polymath haunting and brilliant daughter had run the board. Oh, no. It's just about this polymath and his daughter, and it's run the board, winning both the Tony Award for Best Play and Pulitzer, which I already said. Anyway, so it opened at the Booth Theater, which is one of my favorite theaters. Mm-hmm. It's a tiny little theater right in Schubert Alley. And it says in this review, written by Helen Shaw, and you know what they say, the proof is in the pudding. This one seems half-baked. Something about the intervening quarter century has exposed the weakness in Auburn's play. Oh, I should say, the Did They Like It aggregator had 15 reviews. 7 were positive and 8 were middle of the road. Clearly, the New York Times was a middle mixed review. They call it a quiet and serviceable revival. It was directed by Tommy Cale. Hmm. Anybody can tell me what big show he directed?
Hamilton.
Hamilton! Yay, you win.
Gold stars.
Okay, thank you for being on the show.
I'm so glad you're here, Lindsay.
Not really.
It stars Don Cheadle. I will mispronounce this, Ayo Edebiri, who plays Catherine.
Edebiri, I think, is her last name.
Edebiri. I don't know her. Why? Why?
Right?
She's the girl in The Bear, sous chef, and she's been in other things. Big Mouth. She voiced one of the.
She's amazing.
Students. Yeah.
Okay, I take it back. I want to see this show now. Mm-hmm. They liked the cast a lot. For instance, Cheadle and Edebiri.
Edebiri,
I cannot pronounce it, are both down-to-earth and unshowing in their clear affection for each other, and they're warmly believable as parent and child. Cheadle is laid back to the point of liquidity, blah, 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 though as in another league. At several points, she manages a crucial stage trick. She can seem to shrink, collapsing inward while the audience registers an expanding sense of presence. It will serve her beautifully in other roles. So other people that have played this on Broadway originally was Mary Louise Parker. But these are names I didn't know played it. Gwyneth Paltrow, Jennifer Jason Leigh, and Anne Heche all played her.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would have liked to have seen Jennifer Jason Leigh.
Yeah.
I like her.
Evidently, Mary Louise Parker is amazing. Mm-hmm. I've never seen her in person but she's supposed to be incredible in the theater. Yeah, that's the end of that. All right. Let's talk about other critics that talked about the... Oh, my God. I just looked at the clock. We're going to talk fast. You know what? Screw the other critics. We're going on to the next one.
Only nice things.
Yeah. Well, no, they said good things.
Yeah.
The next one is Fallen Angels. And that one got out of 14 reviews, 8 were positive, 6 were negative, or 6 were mixed. And this is the one that stars, I don't know who it stars, stars Rose Byrne and Kelly O'Hara. Does everybody know who Rose Byrne is? I think most famously she was in Bridesmaids. And Kelly O'Hara is Kelly O'Hara. This is a revival of a Noel Coward play at the Todd Haynes Theater. And it says this, the review for the New York Times was written by Jason Zinnemann. And he said, wielding cigarette holders that seem to get longer with every act, Jane Barenberry, played by Byrne, and Julia Sterile, played by O'Hara, lavish attention on their own ever-so-beastly desire inside a grand apartment belonging to Banbury over the course of 2 days in 1928. So this is in total Noel Coward style. I have to say, I'm learning something new about Noel Coward, which I was kind of loosely familiar with his plays, like Blithe Spirit. But we just had a production of Private Lives at Ground Floor Theater. And then this way, he was nasty. His plays are racy.
Ooh.
For the 1920s and 30s. And this one was indeed the same same case.
Yeah, they're showing some ankle.
They're showing some ankle.
Ooh, yeah. Get it, girl.
Yeah. In matter of fact, in the review, he says, this ebullient farce scandalized critics and censors when it premiered a century ago.
Wow.
So today its moral concerns like sex before marriage seem dated, but its spirit, not to mention wit, are thoroughly modern. So they're basically saying the performances by O'Hara and Byrne are the reason to go see it. I'm going to just jump to the other critics. Greg Evans says, under the sure direction of Scott Ellis, did I mention that Scott Ellis was the director? And a given lush and gorgeous staging by Roundabout. Not since the glory days of Jennifer Saunders and Joanna Lumley in Absolutely Fabulous has there been a funnier pair of women playing drunk. That was written by Chris Jones of the New York Daily News. And Variety's Brent Ling said, David Rockwell's set, an elegant art deco dining and drawing where much of the action unfolds, provides a stylish background for the proceedings. So there you go. And the next one on the chopping block is Schmigadoon. So I guess it opened 2 days ago because there's one more after this. Schmigadoon, which everybody is saying, this is the interesting thing. They're saying probably Tony, best musical.
Is it the Schucht of this season? Because it's just big. It's big. It's Broadway. It's loud.
Well, and it's good.
Funny. It's good.
It's good. It's a great cast. So did anybody watch the
both
series?
Seasons, yeah.
Both seasons. Loved the first season. Was meh about the second season.
I go in more for the types of musicals that the second season was about. So like the Oklahomas and all of that. Those aren't my style of musical. I loved both seasons, but I love Alan Cumming, and I think that his turn in the second season I really enjoyed.
Okay, I agree with the sentiment you said. I also tend towards the
70s
more contemporary
musicals.
But I thought this TV show, I thought that season was more fun.
Oh, yes. Definitely much more fun.
Anyway, and that's what this play is. It is the first season, Schmigadoon. The second season was Schmicago, if we remember. And it basically has the same magical town as Brigadoon, where these two, this couple, a pair of doctors show up. There were 15 reviews, 11 were positive, 4 were mixed, and 1 was negative. Usually when there's only one negative, I try to read something, but I didn't do it this time. Oh, wait, maybe I did. Maybe it's at the very bottom. Nobody panic. It's not. I did not do it.
Oh, no.
Anyway, they liked it. And it was directed by Christopher Catelli. Anna Gasteyer is in it, in this one. The only one from the series that is in it is Anna Harada, who played Dr. Manlove's wife or Mr. Man Love. Anyway, so I'm just going to say go see it so we can go on to other things. The final thing that opened was The Ballisters, which I have to say, when I wrote this, I wrote a compound word. I didn't realize it said balusters. I said ball.
Oh, something.
Lisa. I know. It's wrong. And then I'm reading it, and they're saying the title is about what is on a stairway, which is a baluster.
Depending if you're sliding down the railing a certain way, it could be that compound word also.
True. There were 14 reviews. 9 were positive. 5 were middle of the road. And let's just say it's about a directed by Kenny Leone. And it imagines a diverse group of upper middle class neighbors devoted to serving their community. And it's about a group of people talking about landmark status of stuff. Richard Thomas is in it. Anika Nani Rose is in it. Blah, blah, blah. Go see it.
Okay.
That's it. Yeah. I want to see what other things I want to talk about because we already don't have time. I should say that I'm always amazed, I'm always happy when I find things in our Broadway briefing that include local stuff. And not only is this local, but it's offstage and on the air. Original co-host of Offstage and on the Air, Stuart Moulton, was in the Broadway briefing this week because in England, a conversation with Edith Head that was written and performed by Susan Clausen is having a performance, and Stuart Moulton will be there with her. That happens April 26th through 27th at Crazy Cogs. We have time to get there if we go to the airport right now.
Sure.
Mm. Okay, good for Stuart. The second to last thing, the penultimate thing I'd like to talk about is the Buena Vista Social Club. Has anybody seen it?
No, I missed it on Broadway.
Yeah, well, it's still there.
I really loved the original album.
Yeah.
It's still going?
It is.
Oh, nice.
It had a dance-along night back in March 26th, hosted by Lin-Manuel Miranda. And it was such a hit that they're doing it again on May 14th. That is going to this time be hosted by John Leguizamo. But the dance along. Oh, look, we got a reaction.
Yeah, really.
We love John.
We love John.
Well, what's not to love? He's great on so many levels.
One of my favorite Tybalts of all time.
Did he play Tybalt?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the yeah. one with DiCaprio?
Yeah, the okay. Baz yes. Luhrmann movie. Mm-hmm.
Oh, he was it. That's right. He yes. was in that. 100%.
So glorious, so over the top. Yeah. I absolutely mm-hmm. love him in that.
Yeah, well, I did like that movie. It's a good thing that Nicole is not here because she did not like that movie. I did like it.
Blasphemy.
Anyway, they invite the audience to stand at their seats and dance. So I think that's good. And the final thing I'm going to talk about is Lampica. They are having a reunion concert version of their show and at the Laurie Beecham Theater on Monday, June 1st. It's going to feature members of the original Broadway cast of Lampica. All the benefits, all the proceeds benefit Ali Forney Center, which provides support to LGBTQ+ youth. And I just think that's great. It starred Eden Espinosa, was directed by Rachel Chafkin, who is probably the best director in the world. Sorry, all of the directors, including myself. but she's great. Anyway, so we're going to take a break and we're going to listen to Paris Will Always Be Paris from Lampica. We will be right back. Don't go away.
Life is sweet.
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On Air with Lisa and a cadre of others. Now we're going to introduce the folks that we've been talking to for the real reason they're here, which is to talk about their show, which is the Merry Wives of Windsor. And they are the folks from the Baron's Men. And we have, once again, the Baron's Men president. Nope, sorry. I'm going in this. No, I'm going to do it this way.
Yeah.
The president and the director of this piece, Michael Osborne.
Hello, I'm here.
And the artistic director, the executive artistic director, and also playing Mistress Ford in the show, Lindsay Polinsky.
Hello, hello.
Playing Falstaff, we have Julio Mia.
Greetings, hello.
Pronounce it right that time. And Jared Walls is playing Master Ford.
Hello, hello.
Okay, thanks for being on the show.
Cool.
Okay, bye. Yeah. All right. So, Michael, I've never heard of this show. What's it about?
All right. So, it's a lovely little comedy that Shakespeare wrote. And as the story goes, Queen Elizabeth liked the character of Falstaff in the Henry 4, 5, 6 histories.
Yeah.
She liked that character so much that she commissioned a play about Falstaff.
That was also her favorite beer.
Oh, indeed. Shakespeare wrote this little comedy. It's about a little group of people in this little town of Windsor, which is a suburb of London, which realistically, it's like going up to Cedar Park. Yep. They're that close. They didn't go that far. But it's a bunch of people just having a lot of, you know, maybe slightly mean fun with each other, but they all make up at the end and then they all go all have dinner the next day.
No mistaken identities. No,
no mistaken identities. Only one marriage.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. That's great. I have never seen The Merry Wives of Windsor. I'm assuming that it has wives that are kind of having a good time.
We are quite merry. There are two of us, Mistress Ford and Mistress Page, and we are having a good time sort of picking on and getting revenge on Falstaff because he thinks he can seduce these two married women and take us for all of our money or all of our husband's money. But he's a fat drunk, and so there's plenty of fun jokes that the Baron's been likes to lean into, some fart humor, a little bit of lewdness, and that's part of our bag. But we are quite merry. We giggle a lot, and that's lovely.
Oh, that's good. So Julio, you're playing Falstaff, and people aren't here, don't have the privilege of being able to see you in person. You're yes. not all that portly.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes, I do wear what was called a fat suit.
Fat suit. Mm-hmm.
Yes, belly and a butt, and yes,
a B&B we call those.
Yep.
Tell us about Falstaff. I think that I think I can conjure a picture of him in my head as I do, but not everybody can.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Falstaff was. Falstaff is a drunk, very happy-go-lucky wannabe guy, and I consider him like very Timon and Pumbaa kind of energy, very Hakuna Matata, you know, kind of a
okay.
deal.
Okay, got it.
But he's also very selfish, and unlike the characters from The Lion King, he's also very cowardly. So he's not really that nice of a man. He likes to play tricks on people, and he likes to scam people and that kind of stuff. And he's very selfish and very cowardly.
Cool.
So he drinks a lot. So that gives a lot of room for a lot of shenanigans and fun stuff.
What beer does he like to drink?
Oh,
there's really only
the
one
cheapest.
Answer.
It's Falstaff.
It's Falstaff.
Any. Falstaff.
Any beer
the
will do.
The one in front of him.
The one in front of him, absolutely.
So, Jared, you're playing Master Ford to Lindsay's Mistress Ford, I'm guessing.
Yes, indeed.
Tell us about him.
So, Master Ford is probably the most insecure, jealous character I've had the pleasure of playing in my life. He hears about Falstaff deciding to try and woo his wife and goes to such extreme lengths as disguising himself as Master Brook to get information from Falstaff. He climbs into a buck basket. He beats Falstaff with a cudgel.
What basket?
A buck basket.
Well,
so
of
like
course.
A, yes, you know.
What is that?
Like large basket they would take down to the Datchet Mead to wash and bleach all of their clothes. And
okay.
So it's you know.
It's a buck basket.
It's laundry.
It's laundry.
I climb into a bunch of
dirty laundry at one point, all in the name of jealousy. Then, we find out that they've been trying to fool Falstaff the whole time, too. And I'm like, wow, I feel very dumb.
There you go.
And that is basically Ford.
And Michael, how are you approaching this as a director? What time period are we in? Give us all that directorial goodness.
So one of the things we like to do in the Baronsman, we like to present historical plays in a historical context. So we are playing this in the Elizabethan period as things were in that time frame. So period costuming, period staging. No, our actors are not mic'd. They have to project the entire place.
Good.
And it's a strong skill to have. But yeah, it's we like to present it in this historical context because we feel it's important to kind of show what the attitudes of the period were like, and presenting it to a modern audience, what's still relevant, what isn't relevant, what is just, you know, oh, you can't do that anymore kind of thing.
Okay, and are there dogs in the show?
There are no actual dogs in the show. We've learned a long time ago to not bring live animals.
I just would love to see a dog in your show that has an Elizabethan collar.
Oh, we've done that before.
We have done that one time, yes.
Okay. No, really, I thought I made it up. Okay, y'all are going to do a scene, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
Does somebody want to set this scene up for us?
Surely. This is a scene where... Falstaff has just attempted to try to seduce Ford's wife and failed miserably. And now Master Ford comes to find out what happened between him and his wife. And
disguised as Master Brooke.
Yes. Disguised as a different person called Master Brooke, who actually tries to hire Falstaff to try to seduce his wife because he thinks that this is what's going to happen. And is like... trying to set a trap for Falstaff.
Got it. Okay, well, this is Julio Mia, Jared Walls, and Lindsay Polinsky doing a scene.
I'm not in the scene.
Okay, then never mind. Strike Lindsay from the Baron's Men's production of Merry Wives of Windsor.
And at his heels, a rabble of his companions, thither provoked and instigated by his distemper, and forsooth to search his wife for his house for his wife's love.
What? While you were there?
I was there.
And did he search for you and could not find you?
Oh, you shall hear. As good luck would have it, comes in one Mistress Page, gives intelligence of Fort's approach, and on her intelligence and her Fort's wife's distraction, they conveyed me into a buck basket.
A buck basket?
By the Lord, a buck basket. Ran me in with foul socks, smocks, greasy shirts, greasy napkins. That, Master Brooke, that was the foulest rank of villainous smell that ever offended nostril.
How long lay you there?
Hey, Master Brooke, you shall hear how I have suffered to bring this woman to evil for your good. Being thus rammed into the basket, a couple of Ford's knaves, his hinds, were brought forth by their mistress to carry me in the name of foul clothes to Datchet Lane. They met the jealous knave, her husband, at the door, who asked them once or twice what they had in their basket. I quake for fear as a lunatic knave would have searched it. But fate, ordaining he should be a cuckold, held his hand. Well, off went he on his search, and away went I for foul clothes. But mark the sequel, Master Brooke. I suffered the pangs of three several deaths. First, an intolerable fright to be thus detected with a jealous Broughton bellwether. Next, to be encompassed like a good bilbo in the circumference of a peck, heel to point, hail to head. And then, to be stopped in like a strong distillation with stinking clothes that threaten in their own grease. Think of that, a man of my kidney. Think of that! That I'm subject to heat as butter, a man of continual disillusion and thaw. It was a miracle to escape suffocation. And when I was at the height of this bath, when I was more than half stewed like a Dutch dish, to be thrown into the Thames and cooled, glowing hot in that surge, like a horseshoe. Think of that, Master Brooke, hissing hot. Think of that.
In great sadness, I am sorry that for my sake, you have suffered all this. My suit then is desperate. You'll undertake her no more.
Oh my God, how much fun is that?
I've never seen that scene before. Good job, guys. Yay.
Yeah, I gotta say, I love watching Julio do these scenes. Yeah. I don't even take notes. I just watch it.
Oh, thank you.
I was about to say, I was hoping that our webcam was on because you were on fire there.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Lots of energy here in the house. And now we know what a buck basket is.
Yep.
So we're always learning things here on Offstage and on the Air. When do you guys open this show?
We open tomorrow night and run through Sunday, May 10th. This is our first time having Sunday matinees in about 20 years, which is really fun and interesting for us. So we run for 3 weekends, Thursday, Friday, Saturdays at 7:30 and Sundays at 5:30.
Okay, and that's the 23rd?
Yep, tomorrow.
Yeah,
tomorrow. I can never remember what day it is.
Days aren't real.
Where can folks go to get more information about this show?
So you can find more information at our website, thebaronsmen.org. That's T-H-E-B-A-R-O-N-S. men.org.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, that's good that you did that. My audience listeners can't really spell. But before we say goodbye to you, the Baron's Men has always had their home at the Curtin Theater, Richard Garriott's Curtin Theater, which is an outdoor, beautiful theater. And that is no longer, well, as we discussed earlier, it is no longer available to perform in. Mm-hmm. Currently, it's still standing. So this is your first time in an other theater, mm-hmm. indoors, and with a co-sponsor, which is the Scottish Rite. How is that for you guys?
It's been going really well. Everyone at the Scottish Rite is incredible. I think it's still really meaningful for us and our audiences to be able to still be playing in an historic space. It's a few hundred years newer than a wooden O would be, an Elizabethan replica theater, but it's still really, really special to have a sense of history, a sense of Austin history as part of our productions. It is a new experience because we've also never done proscenium playing before. So this has been a change for our actors and directors for this season to do that. But co-producing, having the Scottish Rite co-produce with us has been really incredible. They're an incredible organization that is so supportive of the art scene in Austin in general. And we're really lucky.
True that. Will that be your home here until you find a more permanent digs?
It's our home for this year. So this show will be at Scottish Rite. And then our fall production of The Taming of the Shrew will also be at Scottish Rite. We have not gotten to next year yet.
Got it. Well, that's a whole nother year away.
It's a day at a time.
Well, for us, we got to plan it in like the next couple of months.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, and you never know if you're going to get the rights.
Exactly.
Well, thank you all so much for being on the show. Oh, I need to ask you, we are in need of actors for our play. I need three of you to volunteer. Will three of you do it?
Yeah. Well done.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. Amazing. Wonderful. So everybody can stick around. We'll see the play Shagrake a little on later. But in the meantime, best wishes on your run of Mary Wise of Windsor.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Okay, that was Michael Osborne, Lindsay Polinsky, Julio Maya. God, I'm having a hard time with Maya. It's not hard. And Jared Walls of the Baron's Men and the Scottish Rite's production of the Merry Wives of Windsor, opening the 23rd of this month, which is tomorrow, playing through May 10th. For more information, you may visit thebaronsmen.org. Keeping with wives, this is Ex-Wives from Six. We'll be right back.
Listen up, let me tell you a story.
We are back. You're listening to Lisa Sheps on Offstage and on the Air here on Co-op Radio 91.7 on your FM dial. This puppy streams at koop.org all over the world. Todo el mundo. So let's talk about what's happening right here in Austin. These are the things that are playing or opening soon. I am soliciting Sean Moran to be my co-host and to read these with me.
Here we go.
And then I'm going to ask Lindsay to just think of her grocery list and just hold on to that idea. All right, I'm going to start, and then you're gonna figure it out and follow me, okay?
Let's go.
All right, Zach Theater has several shows. Zapata, a folklorico superhero musical, plays through the 26th of this month. Charlotte's Web plays through the 15th. And the 17th of May. And Dear Evan Hansen also plays through the 17th of May. You're on.
MMNT has Little Women playing from April 18th through the 26th. The Vortex Theater and Ground Floor Theater are hosting Pueblo Revolt from May 7th to the 23rd.
Okay, I'm going to have to stop you there. Vortex Theater is a typo.
Oh, no.
It shouldn't have been there. But Ground Floor Theater does have Pueblo Revolt. Opens May 7th through the 23rd. You can pick it up with Austin Playhouse.
Austin Playhouse has A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder from through May 17th.
Lindsay, what's on your grocery list?
Bananas and sandwich stuff. Bread, okay. Turkey, cheese.
All right, just wanted one thing, but that's good enough.
Sorry.
I was teasing. You didn't get the memo. Teatro Vivo has Latinx New Play Festival. Plays from April 23rd through the 25th.
La Fenice is doing Bridgerdown through May 9th.
The Baron's Men, who we just spoke to, have Merry Wives of Windsor from the 23rd to May 10th.
Broadway in Austin's doing The Wiz from May 12th through the 17th.
City Theater has The Odd Couple. They're going to be on the show next week. May 1st through the 17th.
Austin Shakespeare is doing Much Ado About Nothing May 7th through the 24th.
And finally, Filigree Theater still has Take Care of My Friend through the 25th of this month. Here are the auditions. We have Cold Frame Collective. It's got The Servant of Two Masters. Those auditions are on May 3rd. City Theater has A Raisin in the Sun auditioning tonight and tomorrow night. Changing Lives Youth Theater has a new original devised show that they're auditioning for that is about teen violence prevention. It happens on May 14th. And of course, our citywide theater auditions are on the 30th and the 31st of May. Has anybody participated in the citywide auditions?
I have for the last couple of years. I auditioned 1 year and then sat in.
You've been sitting in, yeah.
Sitting in.
Anybody else audition? All right, well, you should. That's all I want to say about that. All right, are you ready for today in theater history?
Yeah.
In concert with what's going on now, there's like we had a million openings. I should say the thing that's opening tonight, the show that's opening tonight, is Beaches, which should be interesting. But birthdays, John Waters' birthday, Charlotte Ray's birthday, Nancy Anderson's birthday, and Alan Campbell. Not co-ops Alan Campbell, a different Alan Campbell. But opened on this night is a whole bunch of stuff. Stranger Things, The First Shadow, opened this year. Or 2021 didn't open this year because it's this year. Opened last year on this date. Harry Potter and the Cursed Child opened in 2018. The Who's Tommy opened in 1993. The Heart of Rock and Roll in 2024. Something Rotten opened in 2015. Isn't that great? Y'all would love that, wouldn't you? It was the second best show that year because it was going against Hamilton. Hedwig and the Angry Inch revival with Neil Patrick Harris in 2014. Sondheim on Sondheim was 2010. Frost Nixon, 2007. Speaking of Sondheim, Assassins opened in 2004. Wild Horns of the Civil War opened in 1999. That's a lot of stuff. What's that face for, Lindsay Polinsky?
I thought Assassins was older than that because I remember
I
was younger.
It's a revival.
Oh, the revival. Okay.
It's the revival.
So I saw a college production of that when I was in high school.
With Neil Patrick Harris.
Ah.
Sorry, revival. Two Neil Patrick Harris revivals.
Yeah.
Hedwig and Assassins. Did you come see it at Ground Floor Theater 2 weeks ago?
No, I did not. We were kind of doing some rehearsals.
It's okay.
I
didn't see it either. We're going to take a break and come back, and we're going to talk to 1448 and hear our play, Shackrake. This is from the Civil War, and it's called Greenback. And this is Dr. John singing it. We'll be right back.
Greenback, get you anything you need. Greenback, get you snow in July.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with just a slew of people, as well as me, Lisa Sheps. Before we go on to talk about 1448, there was one thing that I didn't talk about that I wanted to just bring this up as a very quick discussion. There's a review of Avenue Q that's opened up in London. It's a good review, but it started to make me think about things that may or may not stand up to the test of time. And Avenue Q has some very, they have a stereotypical Asian woman playing very purposely that stereotype of an Asian. They have a, what's his name? Gary Coleman. And songs like Everyone's a Little Bit Racist. So, and this review talks about how it's okay to do it, to talk about it, because really, in my opinion, the bend of the whole show is really anti what it's saying. I just want to see what other people think about doing shows like Avenue Q now. Is it okay to do Avenue Q?
Ooh.
Yeah, you weren't expecting that, did you?
Yeah, it's okay, but you do need to be open to everyone else's feedback and response.
True.
You need to be able to take responsibility for it.
Yeah, I think if you know going in, I mean, we do 500-year-old theater, so who are we to talk, I suppose? But
true, because, I mean, you take, I mean, Shakespeare has issues, but, like, if you take Gilbert and Sullivan, talk about racist, misogynistic.
Yeah. Well, and they revised Book of Mormon a few years ago as well.
Very barely.
Very barely. Okay, yeah. I just had heard that it had gotten done, so, you know,
But that's true, Book of Mormon, and it's still going strong.
Yeah.
What they did with that was they gave, I forgot the character's name, the young woman, they gave her more agency, but basically, instead of she texted by using a typewriter, they gave her a tablet.
Ah.
That was what they changed.
Okay.
Amongst other things, but that was basically it.
Yeah, I think if you take responsibility for the show you're putting on and understand that pieces of theater are also products of their time and place, and, you know, it's possibly not as funny as it might have been however long ago, or that type of humor has changed in our society. But we also, you know, we do historic theater, and it's important to keep discourse alive around the arts as well. So I think it at least provides a good talking point.
Yeah.
Right or wrong, who's to say?
Agree. Okay. Yeah. I want it to be okay to do it because of that particular show. I really like it. And there's a lot of people that think that we shouldn't be doing Book of Mormon, but I like it and I want to keep doing it. So that's hypocritical. All right, let's switch gears. Let's talk about 1448. Max, did you write a play? Do you love it?
I do. It's the best thing I've written all week.
That's good. Well, we have Sean is one of our actors.
Sean.
And these three, do you want to give them and tell them what characters they're going to play?
I will. I'll go over and do that now. So I've got a character named Sean.
I'll hand the script
out. So Sean will play Sean. Lindsay, if you'd play Lindsay.
Whoa,
oh my God.
Revolutionary.
I've got a character named Mike, if you can find somebody with that name.
Oh, you're Mike.
Who could it be now?
And then I've got a character with the first name J, letter J. So does anybody want to play the dad? Between you?
Jared is whatever. A dad.
Jared's going to play it.
All Jared right. will be playing Julian.
Okay, so we're gonna read this play. This is a cold reading. Anything you wanted to do to set it up, or just like go for it?
Well, it's sort of comic. There may be a typo, and there's one little word at the bottom of the first page I put about that you should see, whoever's playing that. Yeah, you see that.
I think bear in mind.
Otherwise,
okay.
Let's do it.
Bear in mind that.
Can you read stage directions, maybe?
I can if you Except have you another have copy of the thing.
Okay,
Sean and I will.
Okay. There's not many.
Okay. Bear in mind, this was just written moments ago by the incredible Max Langer, and we're going to have our incredible cast of characters do it. And this is called The Shag Rake. Scene, living room in the 70s. The vibe is family tense.
Come on. We don't have much time, Mike. Where's Sean?
He's coming.
This is super important. The most important night of our entire lives.
Let's not over-exaggerate, honey.
You don't understand, Lindsay. Everything depends on how tonight goes with Mr. Richter. Sean!
Give him a second. He's probably just going to the bathroom.
Actually, he's playing with his pet rock.
Oh, my God.
At least that's what he says he's doing, with the door locked and the lights off.
Jesus Christ. Sean, put down the rock, get your ass into the living room, now.
Okay, where's the fire?
Button your shirt, honey.
It's cool to have it open now, Mom. You're supposed to show off your chest hair.
Chest hair, singular. You have like one, maybe.
dude, I have six dillweed, and another one is on the way. I'll have a dozen by Christmas. Just watch.
Listen. My boss is coming over tonight, and he says he's got something very important to talk to me about. It's crucial that the family is together, happy, in step, focused.
We're very focused, sweetie.
I will be super focused, Pop, as soon as Sean covers his butt-naked chest.
Your face is butt-naked.
It's not.
Is too.
Kids, please.
Lindsay, you've got the pineapple sausage skewers and deviled eggs ready to go.
Of course, just the way you like it.
Wonderful. And Mike, you've got the fondue simmering.
Yep, just like always. That cheese is bubbling.
Wonderful. And Sean, how's the Jell-O salad coming along?
The what?
The Jell-O... Don't tell me you don't have the Jell-O ready.
I didn't know I was supposed to...
Lindsay, you know how important this is to me. I asked you to manage the crew. The thing Mr. Richter likes more than everything else is Jell-O salad.
I could have sworn.
I'm going to have a heart attack. I'm going to lose my job. We're going to have to sell the house. The kids are going to become gigolos.
Sweet.
What?
Dad, take a chill pill. Guess what? I did it. I was just pulling your leg. The Jell-O salad is cooling in the fridge.
Cherry red.
Of course.
Good boy.
You almost killed your father with stress, Sean.
Looks like he's still breathing to me.
Okay, that's everything then. Table set. Beautiful. We've got the Donna Summer lined up on the turntable. Mike, get those lava lamps humming.
On it, Dad.
You made me so proud. I think I smell a promotion coming. Oh, no. Oh, no.
What now, honey?
The carpet is in shambles. Why didn't I see that? Who's on shag rig duty?
Honestly, I think that was your job, Dad.
My job? But I bring home the bacon.
Has anyone seen the shag rake?
I saw it in Sean's room.
What?
He was combing his chest hairs with it.
Oh, nice.
We need the rake. Mr. Richter just pulled up.
Where could it be?
No time. Everyone get on your knees. Just fluff and rake with your fingers.
It's so dirty.
I don't care. Do it. Pull, fluff, rake. Pull, fluff, rake.
Ding.
Ding.
I think your boss is
the
here, Dad.
The doorbell rings.
Pull, fluff, rake. Pull, fluff, rake. Pull, fluff, rake. Pull, fluff, rake.
I'd rather be a gigolo.
Me too.
Is that it?
Oh.
Mr. Reichler gasps. The door slams shut. The end.
Cute.
Amazing. Bravo. Wonderful. I don't know. I may be the only one who lived through every one of those, every single reference you did. Very good, Max.
Thank you for the cue. That was great.
All right. So tell folks, what else do we need to know about 1448 that they may want to? So I want to do a couple things. I want people to come see the show on Friday and Saturday night. And I also want to interest people for being involved next year.
Yeah, absolutely. We do full plays. That means that we require people from all disciplines that go into making a play. We need designers. We need actors. We need directors and currently lighting designers. If you know any lighting designers out there, please, we really could use one for this weekend. It's such a whirlwind. It's pure theater straight to the main line. It's such a wonderful experience. And after 48 hours, you're just left in a daze and this warm glow. It's such a gas to do.
Yeah. One of the things I love about it. So this is done at Ground Floor Theater, which is the theater I run. And it's really fun to see. This is really, the theater is live for 24 hours a day for 2 days. It's really amazing. There's a lot of energy. Max, are you? Oh wait, before I let you go, Sean, you're acting this year, correct?
I am. Yes. Yeah.
Both days, Friday and Saturday.
Yep. Friday and Saturday.
Great. So, how is it from an actor? I've never acted in 1448. How is it from the actor's perspective?
It is such an adrenaline rush to show up at like 8 a.m. and not know what you're going to be doing that day, and to be handed a script and say you have to have this ready by tonight. There's no like room for failure. It's really great. The process is, like I said, such a whirlwind. It like 5 o'clock suddenly shows up and somehow you have memorized these lines and blocking, and somehow the show has coalesced around you as all of the designers have been working while you've been rehearsing. And then at 7, you're on stage and a play is happening, and it's really just phenomenal.
Yeah. As one, I direct for these mostly, and I always, with a live band there, I usually make the live band create an original song for my show, which I think is a lot of fun.
Ooh.
Max, from the playwright's perspective, that's something. It was approached to me to perhaps be a playwright this year, mm-hmm. and I said no, thank you. You find out at around 9 o'clock at night what the theme is, and then you go and you write. This was a 3-minute piece, but you're right. Writing a 10-minute piece or so.
Yeah, so you get that, you sort of bubble around ideas for a couple of hours and then start going. And I think from a writer's perspective, the worst kind of feeling you get is when it's like 3 o'clock in the morning and you realize your idea isn't going where you want it to go and you're kind of just stuck. But the full festival and the handoff, it's like a relay race and it's magic to see.
Well, wonderful. This year's 1448 is this Friday and Saturday night at 8 p.m., I believe. And where can folks go to get more information? Do y'all know? I do.
Tell the nice people at home.
It's groundfloortheater.org/1448. And it's a bunch of fun. And 14 different shows done over 2 nights.
Amazing.
It's great. Well, thank y'all for coming on.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
That was Sean Moran and Max Langert and kind of Lisa Sheps for this year's 1448 happening on April 24th and 25th at Ground Floor Theater. For more information, groundfloortheater.org/1448. And this is from Newsies, and it's about writing, and it's about watching what happens. And I thought that was apropos for this. We'll be right back.
write what you know. So they say, all lines versus rich, greedy, sour.
Okay, we are back. You are listening to the very end of Offstage and On the Air with Lisa. Thank you all for playing with us today and having a good time and being good sports.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah,
you're
that was
welcome.
A lot of fun.
Thank you.
Coming up next is What's New with Tracy Schultz. He's going to tell you what's new. And I am just going to run right off with, we just had a concert version of The Last 5 Years with Nicole Scherzinger and Ben Platt. Oh, God, I remember the names. And they just released an album. So I thought I'd play something from that. And I'm going to. This is Goodbye Until Tomorrow from The Last 5 Years. We'll see you next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air. Bye, everybody.
Don't kiss me goodbye again. This night clean and quiet. You want the last word. You want me to laugh, but leave it for now.